body spitting it. The rhyme is hot, cause it's Big Shook Guru and Freddy the Fox. When Premier bring the beats, no, it just don't stop. It's the militia.
Yo, I ain't one to succumb to no man.
Podcast, also Kirk Bangstad's personal playlist.
I played a song that said militia. This is the January 6th hearings yesterday. We talked about all the militias that were attacking our country. What's wrong with that song, Kristen?
I wish that our followers could see the banter that goes back and forth as you are choosing the songs for the episodes and like all the thought that you put into it. It's really beautiful. You're an artist.
Thank you.
But to the podcast, if you missed Tuesday's 7th hearing of the January 6th committee, you really have to check it out. These are such important pieces of history, and they're so necessary right now. What we learned yesterday is that America, unfortunately, has many different types of extremist groups, and they mostly operated individually, but they all came together for one cause and one man, Donald Trump, when he summoned a mob to intimidate Congress on January 6th of last year.
It's worth noting that from September 11th, 2001, we spent 19 years and 4 months focused on terrorism from Islamic groups and other outside forces. That changed for many Americans on January 6th, 2021. For some of us, including our guest, you know, it changed sooner than that, when we recognized the real danger to Americans and to American democracy resides inside of people who have the audacity to call themselves Americans. They are motivated by hatred based on race, religion, gender, and now a desire to overturn democracy and embrace authoritarianism. It is something our next guest, Kirk, has spent most of her career fighting for beyond our borders.
Yep, and I wanted to introduce Deb McGrath, who is currently running as a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. The 3rd Congressional District encompasses La Crosse, Stevens Point, and much of northwestern Wisconsin, including her home in Menominee. And Deb's got a great story. So urged by her father, Al Baldus, who is actually a congressman in the same 3rd Congressional District, Deb was a commissioned, he urged her to go into the military. She became a commissioned officer in the Army and took an oath to protect her country. And this oath was the same one that so many others in Congress broke on January 6th by trying to overturn the election. Now, after 9/11, Deb was recruited by the CIA and supported operations in a series of overseas assignments, including hardship and combat zones. After serving our nation across the globe, she came home to find our country grappling with many of the same struggles that she had witnessed abroad. Discord that separated communities, lack of trust in government, and threats to our democracy, particularly in regard to voting and basic rights. In my mind, given that Wisconsin and America are barely hanging on to our democracy, Deb is the perfect candidate with the perfect experience of how to lead us through this mess. And that's why the Minocqua Brewing Company has endorsed her. Thanks so much for joining us, Deb.
Oh, Kirk, thank you for that wonderful introduction. And I am so grateful and pleased to be a part of the Minocqua family. And thank you for setting the stage because I am in this race, because I believe our democracy is at risk. And when I saw the attack on our Capitol and that it mirrored what I had been fighting abroad, that we are working abroad is stability and the ability for nations to work together. And we work with people to make sure that terrorism did not overtake those countries. And I've been in several embassies that have been attacked, and I know what it's like to be inside those buildings. And I simply could not believe that our own Capitol was being attacked and that Derek Van Orden, the opponent in this race who almost beat Ron Kind, was there. So I know we're going to be talking about him a little bit later, but someone who took that oath and wants to represent us here was at that insurrection led by Trump. So that was an inflection point for me, a call to action that we cannot let this stand.
So Deb, real quick, this is the first question. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've been there, right? At some insurrections in some of these really, you know, these tougher countries that don't really have strong democracies. I mean, you probably can't tell which countries you were in, but was the January 6th insurrection did it remind you of some of these other things that happened in these failed democracies?
Kirk, that's exactly what I saw. It was too close to home. I mean, that's when I said I have served in, yes, I can't name the countries, but I can can say the many, many places where I was in the embassy, either in the embassy and it was being attacked, or we were on the outside and I was getting people home to make sure that they were safe. And then I've served in our war zones, that I can say. I was in Afghanistan and many other of our war zones and places where terrorist threats happen. And I know this type of domestic terrorism. And this is something that we have been, that now, as you noted earlier, that the United States had been looking at foreign terrorism. And that, yes, after 9/11, it became something much more real for us, that we could not ignore it. And that now, of course, we're really, it's unfolding, even this past 2 weeks, as we see these hearings become more and more brazen about what was being planned, even from the White House. So I do have some, you know, thoughts that domestic terrorism is now at an all-time high. And that we have to regain this narrative. The white supremacists, of course, are at the very heart of this. And so we have to, and absolutely the foreign adversaries are a part of this. When we talk, and Kirk, you and I talked about this, this is the Russians also who are a part of this. They want to stoke this cultural conflict and the false narrative. And they lay open the fact that our elections are rigged and that the government should be overthrown and that we should incite violence. And so a lot of this is not even just coming from our own country, but it's stoked by adversaries.
That is so uncomfortable to hear, but I think we all know that it's true. Deb, in your experience, have you dealt with militias in other countries like the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys?
The way that this is handled with our government is through our allied relationship, and so that we support their efforts, and oftentimes it is through intelligence means, it's through law enforcement tools. The FBI has a part in this, certainly. And so what we do is engage with a host country to be able for them to be able to work on it within their own countries. And that's how it should be done. Each country should handle it. Now, of course, in Afghanistan and some other places, we became partners in that. And that is certainly in an overt sort of way. That's through NATO and other alliances. Yes, I have absolutely been a part of this. And I know that the threat is real, and I know the threat is here.
Yeah, and it is here. So how do we stop this in America?
Oh, Kristen, this is, when we look at this, first recognize and trying to overcome this partisan politics and opening the wound so that it can be healed. We need to have this truth. We need to have this reconciliation. And so that folks who believed it can absolutely see that those who are, they generally, Americans still believe the oath. They will still believe people who take the oath. And they will be skeptical of those who plead the fifth or won't show, which I think is, you know, it's a vital part of what we're seeing right now. But even more than this, we need to have overt security presence. We have fusion centers that have been a part, we've been growing these through the Department of DHS and state and local systems, and we need to buttress those. And then we need to engage communities. And unfortunately, this is a lot like the violence we see in our communities. We have to see something and say something, because this is not happening in a vacuum. People know this is happening within families, within communities, and we need to be able to help people come forward when they see this. This is going to be a long fight, and we need new tools for law enforcement and legal tools, and those are going to have to be legislated. Congress is going to have to be involved in this.
You're so right. And before I hand it over to Pat, I just want to repeat what I heard you say earlier. We need reconciliation. We need to come together. We need to stop this partisan craziness and, you know, behave like the Americans, like the neighbors that we are. Sure. Pat.
You know, that's where we need to go, along with, but as well as taking on the direct threat, which, by the way, much like on the right wing, they like to lump everything into the imaginary Antifa or BLM. And in fact, there's, you know, many, you know, disparate groups out there. The same goes, and this point came up repeatedly during the January 6th committee hearing yesterday, that there are many different groups on the far right. Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, others like them. And again, they all typically have their own silos. You know, think of them as, you know, different different troops. I'm not going to compare them to scouts, but different, you know, different little organizations. And it's very rare that they would all come together again in that imaginary Antifa thing, you know, except that, again, projection. When the right wing says something, it's usually something they're doing. And they all came together on January 6th. And as was heard from members of different groups, from different factions, it was all because Donald Trump and that tweet to come to DC will be wild did that. Deb, I want to know if that analysis we heard yesterday was in line with your experiences, and what other takeaways did you have from what came up in yesterday's hearing?
Pat, this absolutely follows the thread. And even I went to the U.S. Army War College and studied conflict. And so, you know, this is what even Clausewitz called small wars and insurrectionists. And so that this was a military and militia operation. And it was coordinated. It was planned. And it was, went through a very obvious ways of communication. And so that, and they used systems to hide what they were doing. And so, but it started with the seat, with a leader. It started with a call to action from a leader they trusted. And that is the key. So this is, when we look at this, and when what surprised and saddened me, although maybe I wasn't surprised, was that, you know, people were trying to say that Trump was manipulated by others and that this was somehow Eastman and Giuliani. And no, it was absolutely that Trump was at the very core of this, and that he had the access to the truth that Americans did not have. And he still called this to action. And he told people, have the courage to act. That alone, you know, that those fighting words, he used them again and again. So that's what was most troubling to me, was that he knew he'd lost a free and fair election, and that he pressured state and local elections officials to overturn it.
So there was also a testimony played back, audio recording from somebody at Twitter talking about how concerned he was about the violent rhetoric, about the threats, and the company didn't want to do anything about it because, you know, it was good for the company. So recently, I want to say it was NBC, but it could have been somebody else, did a little experiment and put up notes about, you know, abortion pills being for sale. And Facebook took those ads down in under a minute. So clearly their algorithms work for monitoring certain things. As a member of Congress, if elected, what would you want to see the body do about big technology companies, Facebook, Twitter, and such, that either say they can't possibly police everything or show that they can, in fact, do more than they're doing now?
Well, when I spoke about that earlier, Pat, is that Congress has to be held accountable for this, too. I mean, absolutely everyone there needs to be held accountable. You know, Derek Van Orden has lied that he was there. But that the Congress needs to be held accountable to create legislation, and that we need to have tools that law enforcement is involved in this as well. That we've often talked about freedom of expression, and absolutely that is a right that we hold dear. But that this is now become like 9/11. The threat to our democracy is as real now as it was then. And we must take responsibility for this. And those tools that I talked about, those fusion centers, it has to start at the very, very bottom. And we need to have local support to this. But we need federal support for this.
All right. So we don't have a ton of time, but we haven't focused enough on Derek Van Orden. So yesterday in the hearings, we saw two of these guys. One was like the communications guy for the Oath Keepers. And another was simply a guy from Ohio who just got riled up and you know, actually was part of the mob, but he was very sorry about what he had done because his eyes had been opened about, you know, about being part of a mob. Derek Van Orden, who is running as the Republican in the 3rd Congressional District, was just like that Ohio guy, or he was just like the Oath Keepers. I don't know which is, he's a Navy SEAL, he's a retired Navy SEAL, which means he's got, you know, he's got combat training. So do you think Derek Van Orden is actually a domestic terrorist? It's kind of a fiery question, but is it?
I'll tell you, he's primed for it. that if he followed the direction to go there, and he absolutely, there's a, you know, there is one, you know, there's certainly, he hasn't even taken down. He's very proud, sort of peacock, you know, I'm in Washington here for the events tomorrow. So he was absolutely primed for it. You know, this is like call, you know, we can't call somebody, you know, an arsonist until they, you know, set something on fire. But those that he is primed for the pump, as the radical right wing agenda has set him up to do. And he is a parrot for Trump. He is someone who's just following the path and doesn't have his own policies. So this is someone who is obviously a clear and present danger to our district.
Well, he's not an arsonist necessarily, but the man sure does like to splash gasoline around. And for anybody else to necessarily strike the match, and that is the thing. We don't have time to get into this, but Ron Johnson is another one of these masters of, they don't come right out and say, you know, something. They let the individual try to infer it on their own, and it's that kind of rhetoric from a Van Orden or a Johnson or whatever that is dangerous, and where we need a different representation, the type that Deb McGrath would represent. Deb, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure having you, and look forward to visiting again soon.
Thank you. Let's all have courage.
Thank you. When we come back, Governor Evers comes right out and says it. Republicans are not willing to participate in democracy right now. That's next. You're up north.